Greetings to you. Today we dive into chapter 25 of My Soul Waits. We still have six chapters to go, and I pray you have been filled up as you've been journaling and praying, writing, listening, discerning on this journey of engaging God in the midst of our loneliness here in the Psalms. Well, this chapter 25, the theme is Worship Really Matters. Worship really matters. Interesting, in our midst of COVID and all that the world is struggling with right now, in particular with the protest movement in honor of George Floyd and the life that he lived, and in the tragic, unfathomable way in which he was murdered. Yes, we need worship. We need to be centered. And we need to be active in the things that God really cares about. And so we'll talk a little bit about that throughout this chapter. This is from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Well, again, this psalm is a psalm that has a deep craving and a reminder of our soul's yearning to be with people as we worship and as we look to God, the one who leads us by faith, the one we yearn to draw close to, especially in our time of need. Well, Marva talks about this materialistic and alienated culture. We could say this culture that is destroying itself, and how much of the time that kind of culture will hide from the truth that God has created all people, yes, all of humanity within God's image. And that image then has designed us to be in fellowship with God. So there is a sense of wholeness or wellness within the body. But of course, sin gets in there and begins to dismantle and injure us. The choices we make, the attitudes we have, the belief systems that we create, systems of injustice. And it's not long within that sin that we begin to fail in communing with each other and with God. And when I say about communing fully with God and with each other, I mean, again, in wholeness and wellness, where all are loved or all are valued, where all are heard, where the voice of the poor and the powerless and the historically disenfranchised, where we listen deeply, we give them the mic, and we let them live into and share the story that they've been living so that we all can be made new. That creation could groan with those birth pangs of needing to be made new, yet knowing how necessary it is. I think that takes place best within the context of worship. Because as we look to this God of love and compassion and mercy and grace, we recognize a God who does not cut us off, but a God who continues to shape and form. A God who desires to make all things new. as we hear in the scriptures, a new heaven and a new earth is going to be birthed. When all is said and done, God is going to get what God wants, and that's a feast of rich foods and well-aged wine strained clear. It's an image of a banquet table where all truly are gathered. The cultures, the races, the language, the religions, all at table together. Well, this writer of this psalm talks about himself missing that sense of worship, that communal worship. And as he misses that, he realizes that he's panting or yearning for the waters in this terribly dry and sun-scorched land. And that's a powerful image for us to think about. What makes our souls dry up? What makes us feel empty? And how can we again drink from those living streams of water as we draw close to our living God, the one who is a vigorous fountain of life? There's a picture that I have in my office at Grace, and I bought this picture in Haiti, a small oil painting, and it's an image of this vessel of water being poured out. And you can see the image of one particular character on the palette, but then there's others who are emerging or trying to drink from that same stream of water. Well, this image of abundance comes through this painting because the water that's being poured out, it points to an endless supply. And as one person's cup is being filled, as they drink from it, it overflows. It can't be held. It's too much. And then it flows again on to the next person. That's an image of life. That's an image of hope. It's an image of worship. It's an image of relationship with God and with each other. What if our relationships, what if our worship with God formed us in that kind of way? Powerful to consider on this day. Well, again, the poet of this psalm goes on to talk about active participation in the celebrations and in the processions that were part of this festive worship. There were times of pilgrimage, perhaps, or a time of uplifting people together where they recalled the character of God, where you heard from the multitude of voices in celebration of how they were experiencing God in the world. And while quiet devotional time like this on a podcast or journaling or individual prayer or time in creation might feel important, and they are, there's also something to be said about being with people in a celebration of life together, a sense where the entire cloud of witnesses of God's people gather throughout time and space. This psalm even points to a vision where the heavenly throng would be joining us here on earth. And we have images of that throughout Scripture, where the saints and angels have a job to do for those of us yet down here on the field. And they pray for us, and they seek to raise us up. They seek to be encouragers. And as we worship in an assembly together, there is the rejoicing of God's people. And when we live in a sense of discouragement or fear or a sense of loneliness or being lost, it allows God to speak to us yet again. We look to each other to remind ourselves that God is there. And as we wait, sometimes in the midst of this world, some of us right now waiting to come back into an assembly, knowing that, yes, we have this worship online and that it's meeting a particular need or that it's feeling faithful to the call to worship, yet more than anything, most yearning to again be in a place of worship where all can share in the word and in the meal, and song and prayer and fellowship and relationship. This time of waiting is a time of hope, a time of yearning for restoration, deliverance from COVID, deliverance from anything that would ail humanity, so that we could fully again be one and be together. And this theme of prayer or deliverance that we hear throughout the Psalms, again, they look to God to do that because that's been the character of God. And there's a calling and ascending function of God throughout the Psalms. And so as God does God's work within humanity, it's God's assistance that reminds the poet what is best for his life and how God is ever present in the midst of it all. And so how about for you on this day, when you think about worship, what is it you most yearn for? What kind of connection have you experienced as you've spent some of your life in worship and praise in an assembly or even individually now in this current season? And as you have felt discouragement throughout life, how have you also experienced hope in the midst of that worship? And how is it that in the midst of loneliness and despair, that by singing or praying or hearing from the Word, that we can move beyond that into a place of full hope? Be thinking about that in these coming days as we live in this COVID time. And also reflect on the meaning of worship and journal that down. And I also need to remind you today, as we worship online, which we will continue to do for years to come, because we have learned through this that there are so many who can't be present in a building, who won't be able to be there, that even when the assembly happens again within a worship space, that online format is deeply meaningful. And God is at work there. So in this in-between time, I want you to hit that share button and on YouTube. And I want you to send the link to everyone that you know, because it is meant to be a gift and a blessing. And it's always a gift and blessing to invite others into a place of worship and prayer. And so we hope you use that as a resource, not just for you, but for all those that you love, and all those within your neighborhood, the relationships that you have. So a few questions for further meditation. How have you experienced the longing of worship to which the poet speaks? Number two, how is corporate worship or assembly worship, a place of worship, a healing agent as we deal with loneliness and depression or fear? And number three, just three questions for today. The third one, why do I need God's light and faithful care to guide you into worship? Why do you need God's light and faithful care to guide you into that place of worship? Well, God's blessings. And as you pray through this, take time to lift those prayers, both silently in your heart, but also with your voice, and join with others as we have much to pray about in our world today, particularly what's happening again with George Floyd and his memory for his precious family and for all of those who loved him and for all who seek to protest peacefully and move to a place of transformation and change. Where, yes, cultures would understand that Black lives matter and that there would be an end to systemic racism and injustice. We all have work to do, much to pray about, but the prayer drives us into movement, into a place of action. And I pray that God will speak mightily to you as you discern and as you pray. God's peace and hope, and stay safe and well. Until next time, bye-bye.